This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
I bear witness that there is nothing worthy worship except the one Lord. There is nothing like unto him, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Praise be to Allah. We thank him for uniting us again on this Sunday, Salim Day. We pray that he bless us with more understanding in our religion and with aid to us for the needs that we face every day in our life. Praise be to Allah. I believe it was last Sunday when we were discussing the word ta'aleem, connecting it with the root word of the verb to study, to learn, or to teach, ta'aleem. One who is learned or who is educated will become an island, and one who teaches becomes learns to teach becomes mu'allim, and the study itself is ta'aleem. It is important in this religion to understand that we are required to study and to learn, become knowledgeable. Every Muslim is required to become knowledgeable. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, education is an obligation on every male and female child born. And he has also said, peace and blessings be on him, a higher knowledge is the lost property of the believer. Another one of his well-known sayings is, travel to China, travel even as far as China in search of knowledge. Allah Most High says in Quran, in the Holy Quran, at the beginning of the chapter, Surah Az-Zukhruf, are the translated in English chapter by the name Gold Ornament. Hameen wal kitab al mubin. Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun. And surely we have given it a Quran in Arabic that you should understand. Ta'qilun. Understand or become knowledgeable. Ta'qilun. Aql is brain. The name of the brain is Aql, Aqlun, brain. Ta'qilun is a verb formed of the same word. Ta'qilun means that you should become sensible. Sensible. Ta'qilun. La'allakum ta'qilun, that you should understand or become sensible. This religion requires of the individual that he lives a sensible life, and that he approach matters in a sensible way, not just in an emotional way. You have to approach matters in a sensible way. that brings us to the belief that society, if it is to be successful, that is, if it is to enjoy peace, respect between its members, then there must be some respect for the role of common sense. For the role of common sense. The learned popular imam Al-Ghazali, in his book on the, or his writing on the branches of the ilm, or knowledge, he discussed the levels of sense in man. And one level he identifies as intuitive. And we know intuitive means sensing by some given, God-given ability in us that is of a spiritual nature. Like we say, oh, I felt she was not doing well. And when I called her, she was sick. You felt she was not doing well. You called her and she found her sick. So that's intuitive. This intuitive ability in man, it operates in every way. Not just to pick up feelings or emotional things, but it can pick up also objects. We can intuitively know an object is near us. Something tell us, be careful. And you look, and there it is. There was an object. So it picks up objects. It picks up feelings. It picks up objects. It even aids us in solving a problem. But it cannot be depended upon. We have no power over it. So it is a gift from Allah. That's a gift from Allah to us. We can't depend on it. We can't say, well, we're going to build a new masjid next month. And let us all do it intuitively. It won't work. This is one of the levels of sense. It's a gift from Allah. But Allah wants us to come to a higher level of sense. A level higher than that. So Allah has made the human being the animal now. Look at the animal. The animal, what is he depend on except intuitive sense? Except his physical senses and his intuition. We don't call it intuition, we call it instinct, you see. Yeah, but what does he to depend on except his physical senses and his instinct? He has nothing else. He's left there. But Allah has protected him. Allah has not allowed him to think independently, so he has to obey the mold of his life. He has to obey the mold of his life. Whereas with the human being, he has given us freedom of thought, freedom of thought and behavior, we can ignore or come away from the mold of our life. I often say the roach that was in the Queen Nefertiti's palace, he's still here today and he still lives the same way. He hasn't lost his form of life. But a human being, we lose our form of life. We let our mind take us into ways of behavior that cause us to lose our human form of life. And somebody, God's blessings, bring us back to the human form of life after we have gone out of it, left it completely, living worse than dogs. So that second level is the level of common sense, the level that requires man to reason, to think and reason, use his rational faculties. Common sense. Don't think common sense means common feeling. It doesn't. Common sense means common sense. Common sense is the ability that every individual has to think correctly, or to at least strive for correct solutions, correct directions, correct manner of behavior. This is common sense in us. I once was watching a television program, and they were really interviewing this great attorney. He was a great attorney. They said he was perhaps the most successful attorney around at that time. This was a few years ago. And they asked this attorney, they said, what do you charge your successes to? You're so successful in the court. He said, most of my opponents, they depend upon the book and forget common sense. Yes. So common sense, no matter how much we learn, common sense is still very important. Common sense is basic. It's basic, common sense, you see? But then there's another, that's a higher level. Man comes to a higher level that enables him then to become the leader of the general masses, the ruler over the general masses, who have nothing but common sense ability. What gives him that superiority in the knowledge? Scientific insight. Scientific insight. That's the level that gives man knowledge and power to rule. Scientific insight. We know you don't have to have scientific insight to be chosen as a good leader or to be a good leader. You don't have to have scientific insight. Many men, because of their good character, their good human qualities, and their good common sense ability, they are chosen and they become leaders over others. But they can only go so far. Those who have scientific insight will have power over them, even though they are selected by the people. Now, we know all the power belongs to God. You know, Allah will protect whomsoever he will. He will protect them. But what I'm saying, they won't be in that for those who have scientific insight. So Al-Ghazali, he has described these levels of the senses. And Allah has intended all of these levels to be ours. They are ours. These are our possessions. Allah has given us that ability. That's human potential, human capacity, human potential. And we must seek knowledge. And the highest of all knowledge is revealed knowledge. Revealed knowledge. Man cannot come by that, or anything else for that matter. But man does not come by revealed knowledge except through an agent that God has called the angel, Jibreel. Angel Jibreel brings the human being the revealed knowledge from God. God has established that. Man cannot get revealed knowledge directly. He can only get it through the Jibreel, the angel Jibreel. So Allah sends Jibreel to the human being to reveal or to convey to the senses of the human being his revelation. His revelation. Jibreel has no ability to run the affairs of the world or to lead man into the way. Jibreel is just a medium. Jibreel is just a medium chosen by Allah, created by Allah. When the man receives revelation, the man has to use his good senses. His good senses. His rational ability that the angel does not exercise. He has to use his rational ability then to lead man into the higher life, the life that Allah chose for him. So it is revelation, this fourth dimension, or fourth level, revelation, is what makes possible success for man. We can have knowledge of science and still not have any success. Look how much science Israel has, and look how it has abused both human life and the sciences. So scientific insight by itself is not enough. You should know also the purpose. Not just the knowledge, but the purpose. And it is only Allah that reveals the purpose. Allah reveals the purpose. And he has revealed the Quran and scriptures before so that man will know the application of knowledge, the proper application of knowledge, the purpose of his own being and the purpose of the knowledge. And it is all given to do what? To serve Allah's will. We are here to serve Allah's will. The knowledge is here to serve Allah's will. Everything has been done for Allah's purpose, for Allah's will. So if we strive to please Allah, we are on the right track. We are on the right course. Praise be to Allah. Now Allah Most High also says in Quran, the Surah Al-Ahzab, ما جعل الله لرجل من قلبين في جوفه. Allah has not given any man two hearts in his chest or in his breast. And further, Allah Most High says in the same chapter, in the same area of revelation, it says, same context that is, وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِيمَا أَخْطَأْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And you are not obligated, or you are not charged with what you do unintentionally, but with what you do in your heart intentionally. And Allah is always forgiving and merciful. Praise be to Allah. Now, Allah Most High also says, he says, وَالَّذِي نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ. And Allah, he is the one who has sent down from the sky water in due measure. فَأَنْشَرْنَا بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا. And he caused to be brought up by it a dead town or dead land. كَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. On that wise are you brought up or resurrected. How wonderful this is. Now understand, we're talking about the nature of a human being. And Allah says hasn't given any human being two hearts in his chest or his breast. And now we read in the same context, where Allah says in another part, in the same thought, we read where Allah says that he sends down water from the sky in due measure. Now, you know, if too much water comes, it's no good. Not enough comes, it's no good. The right amount of water is good for the crop. Right? And he says, and on that wise are you brought up. Again, Allah Most High says, and this is again in the Surah Az-Zukhruf. Az-Zukhruf. Surah Az-Zukhruf. It says, أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْحِصَانِ غَيْرُ مُبِينٍ. Is one who brings himself up upon the outer show of things without the basic life? To be found with clarity? No. What it means, can someone who builds himself up on the show of life, on a show of life, a pretense of things, feelings, imagination, dreams, guesswork, fancy, and the like. And at the same time now, he's in a created form. So, because of him being structured or raised up in the show of life, he can't make any clarity. He can't bring about any clarity in his argument. When he tries to argue or defend himself, he can't do it. He can't be clear, because he's established falsely. And this word, preform, it refers to the what we call the material matter, of life. So what the Quran is saying, while it also condemns those who put all the importance on the material life and become the most despicable of created beings because of doing that. They become the most despised, the lowest, the most degraded of the created beings because of them putting all the importance on the created matter, the created form. But nevertheless, we have to understand that if we are to have intelligent life, we have to have some knowledge of that created form. You can't make sense out of life if you're going to ignore the basic requirements in your life. Therefore, human conditions hinge upon the spirit of the nation's heart. The heart of the nation. It tells us what the state of life is. If you look at the heart of a nation and you see that nation's heart is insensitive, then you can expect the life of that nation to be inferior. You can expect them to be performing on an inferior level. But if the heart of that nation is sensitive, you can expect that nation's life to be dignified, honorable, progressive. Progressive.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. This is the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar. But how did David do it? He must have done it by stealth. By deceit. Because he deceived his general and got the leader of the sheep killed on the battlefront. Then he took the sheep. Right? That's the political order, stealing the sheep from the church order. From the ecclesiastical order. The political order, stealing the congregation or the following of the ecclesiastical order. That's what this is a sign of in your Bible. Through David, it's given it to us. That the political order, the government, steals the following
of the ecclesiastical order by killing off their leaders, bringing them into difficult contests that will embarrass them. They can't stand up in it. They get destroyed. And then the government gets those people over to themselves. Isn't that how they got a lot of you all that work underground for them right now? If Allah showed me one thing, you know he's going to show me another. You think Allah will show me all of this about Torah and about the Bible and about Elijah Muhammad and about the Quran and about ancient mythology and wouldn't show me what this little thing you're doing here today? Yeah. And you only see the tail of it. All right. So, dear beloved people, Abraham is that one. So our order is the order after the order of Abraham. What is the word millah? Millah. What does millah suggest? Millah suggests a combining of two concerns. Spiritual and material are combined in one. They become reconciled in one concern. So Abraham was the prophet who reconciled the material world with the spiritual world. He reconciled the material concern with the spiritual concern. Now, wasn't this the goal of most of the prophets? The major prophets? That's why Abraham is named as the one. God said, I will bless through Abraham, I will give you this blessing. But they were after it all the time, weren't they? Yeah, they were after it. But God said, through Abraham will I give you this blessing. And God said of Abraham, he said, I make you father of the people, the nations. Not one nation. Father of the nations. He is the plural. Semitic language, that's the plural. He was called at first Abram. And then his name was changed from Abram. He was called Abram, father of one community. Father of the sheepish community. And his name, because he sacrificed the sheep, he was then, his name was changed to Abraham, father of all the nations, all the communities. And then God chose Muhammad, peace be upon him, for his last and universal revelation. And he told him that the community is established on the order of the community of Abraham. It is an international community. A community of all people and all nations. Oh, yes. So here we find the blessing of Abraham passing on. But it was a destiny that people sought. They wanted to reconcile worldly life. They wanted to reconcile material concerns with spiritual concerns. We have in us a spiritual nature, a spiritual soul, a spiritual concern. And we have to learn the place of the external reality in that concern. And man, in trying to find that, he rejects it in ignorance. In ignorance, he rejects it. It's too difficult to carry this material burden along. He says the highest discipline of the soul is to live without it. To live without a woman, sex, to live without children, to live without money, to live without business, to live without participation in government. So he intend right, but he goes off. So that's why Allah says in the Quran that Adam slipped. And the word that is used is similar to an earthquake. What causes an earthquake? Imbalance. 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 The pressure is either out of balance or the crust is out of balance. And then you have an earthquake. Yes. So it says that he slipped. He didn't intend it. But his balance went off. His balance went off. You see? Praise be to Allah. Now, so if this is the order, if this is this order, then that tells us that in our community, we can't be separated. Business mind, spiritual mind. We're a material mind, spiritual mind. We can't be separated like that. community goals, spiritual goals. We can't be separated like that. No, this is one life. It's all one life. And Allah has reconciled it through Prophet Abraham and have applied it or demonstrated it through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In his day and time, these things were separate. Prophet Muhammad was the chief over the material distribution. He was the chief over government processes. He was the chief over spiritual processes. The chief over morals and ethics. The chief over academics and higher learning. He was the chief over all these things. He was the complete prophet who reconciled the life, brought man in consonance with his purpose, with his full capacity. So, are you operating at full capacity? If you belong to the sheepish order, you're not operating at full capacity. And you fraternities and you sororities, you belong to the sheepish order. You are trained not to upset the boat. You are trained not to rock the boat. You are trained to do what the establishment wants. And your reward for obedience not to God, your reward for obedience to the needs of the establishment is your assurance that you will progress up through the establishment. So they say, join a sorority, join a fraternity, so you will have assurance that you will progress right up through the establishment. You have been free to join these sororities and these fraternities now for over 50 years. And look at the situation of the African American today. What are you of sororities and fraternities doing to change this condition of your people, economically speaking, governmentally speaking? What are you doing to give more power to your people and government? What are you doing to bring the poor up from poverty? Huh? What are you in a secret fraternity for? You're nothing but a hide slave plantation keeper. That's all you are. You're nothing but a hide keeper. You're one of their keepers for the plantation. To see that other people of your own lot don't get ahead. You're the special ones to watch their back. When they ain't around, they train your eyes so you can watch their back, their hidden interest, when they ain't around. And if you don't like this, you should be shot in the head because you ain't fit to live. You ain't fit to live belonging to some secret fraternity. You ought to be ashamed of yourself paying them money, letting them break down your resistance. They break down your intelligent discipline. They ain't satisfied until they break you down. Then they tell you now you're ready to join up. If you got any moral inhibition, they will break down your moral inhibition. If your reasoning process is too natural, they will break down your reasoning process. They ain't satisfied with you until you accept this to be a broken vessel for them to put together for their purpose. Don't you know that's the only thing that keeps us down? Let me tell you what keeps us down. It's not nature. Nature will get us up. It's these trained people among us who watch the interests of the oppressor and sabotage efforts made by the people to dignify themselves. Throw confusion into the plan of the people who want to lift themselves up. Get themselves in key positions to sabotage operations. To retard operations. To program operations for self-destruction. Get yourself in positions to do that. For who? Your master. And you feel indebted to them because they paved your way through school. They promised you a position and fulfilled their promise. But have they given you the most precious promise? Have they given you freedom? Do you have a free conscience? Do your people have freedom to move up the ladder of progress? And Allah says in the Quran, and the devil promised you, and God promised you. And the devil is always one to break his promise. It's time we wake up. Time we wake up. And the only way we're going to be successful is to break every allegiance. Break every allegiance that denies us a free mind. And at ease heart. Break every allegiance that denies us a free mind and an at ease heart. Then we will be successful. Then we will be successful. For us who call ourselves Muslims, what is the answer? Allah says, and your death and your resurrection is as the death and resurrection of one person. Nafsan wahida. You die because one wicked individual has the courage to go counter the divine scheme of this universe. And you get back on the track, or you come back to life because of one person having the courage to go counter Satan's scheme. So he says your death and resurrection is as the death and resurrection of one person. One person. How is that again told in the scripture? In the gospel, it says, lift me up and I will draw all men up unto me. They don't understand what they're talking about. How is it demonstrated in the community of Islam under our leader Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him? He called his men together to make it a pledge of allegiance. And he told them to join their hands. And he placed their hands above. He placed his hand above theirs. Meaning that my rule is above yours. And Muslims who have followed that tradition, they still do it. If they have one, then one person come up. He put his hand, the leader puts his hand over his hand. And that makes the bond. If there are many people, they join hands. The leader puts his hand over all their hands. That joins the bond. Not that the leader is the prophet. He's carrying out the obligation. What does Allah say in the Quran of this? He says, and when they placed their hands, and your hand was above those, says Allah's hand, God's hand, was above yours. So the prophet's hand is above the people's hand, and Allah's hand, meaning his authority. His authority is above the prophet. But how is his authority carried out? Through the prophet, a human mortal just like us. Now, dear beloved people, if we are Muslims, tell me, where is your authority if you make me your imam? Your authority is under my hand. Or you don't belong to this order. If you belong to this order, you join me, you say you belong to the American Muslim Nation. Some of you say, well, I didn't join you, I joined this community. Well, you're a crazy man. You're just a crazy person. The community has made their decision. The community decision is that I'm their leader. Now, how you going to join them without joining their decision? If you join them, you have to join their decision. And if you join their decision, then your authority is under my authority. You know our enemies don't want this among blacks? This is the last thing they want among blacks. They don't want blacks to be obedient to another one. Unless he's a criminal. If he's a criminal, they don't mind it because they can easily come against criminals and squash them out overnight. See, the law is established against criminals. But ain't no law established against what I preach. President Madison says that this country has to recognize Islam as it recognized Judaism and Christianity. And ever since President Madison, the government has upheld that right that the legitimate religion has to have freedom of religion in this country. So they can't deny me, my leadership, so they have to work subtly, deviously, deceitfully. They have to work that way through you to get you prejudiced against me. And many times they can't come directly at me, so they will make you prejudiced against any authority over you. They have to prejudice your mind against any authority over you. And then they're clever enough to take that kind of mind many times and make it accept a criminal over them. See how subtle the devil's traps are? Too much for the average one of us. If we don't have God guidance, we're finished. We need our law protection. Without our law protection, we are finished. So I offer someone to come and stand by me. I offer them a position by my side. I said, I want you to go and check on this interest. He told me, he said, I'll look out for the community's interest. That told me that he was not a man to stand by my side. Anytime you tell me you won't accept my orders in that spirit, that you have to accept it in the spirit that you're looking out after the community's interest, you're telling me that you don't recognize my authority over you, that you're equal with me. If you can look out after the community, you do it. Now, if I'm going to work with you, I'm independent to look out after the community as I see fit. So that's that same Indians with no chief that the white man has bred into his free slaves and their descendants, where they resent authority in another one of their own kind. And no, you ain't telling me what to do. I'm just looking out for the community. Sounds nice, but it's very poison. Very poisonous. You're just looking out for the community. If the president called me to the White House and say, Imam Wazuddin Muhammad, because of your stature, your credibility, we want you to go on a mission overseas. And if it was something that I could accept, and I did that, could I tell the president of these United States, well, I'm going for the sake of the United States of America. See, I say, yeah, I accept it, but I'll be looking out for the interests of the United States of America. The president would tell me, he said, who the hell you think I am? Don't you know I'm the one that America has chosen to look out for the interests of these United States? And you got the nerve to tell me in my face after I offer you this dignified position that you are going to assume my kind of power and responsibility? I said, well, you're a one-eyed man, we're going to kill. We're going to say you died of sneezing or something. Say you hiccuped and you didn't come back. You caught the hiccups and didn't come back. Yeah. Because I would be a stone fool, wouldn't I? Now, here I am offering a man a position by my side. I did this recently, within the last 3 or 4 days, because he had shown a change of heart. So I offered him a position by my side to work right directly with me. Nobody giving orders directly with me. He tells me, I'll look after the, you know, I'm going to look out after the community. Then. And with that kind of attitude, you know, I'm going to look out after the community. Then. In other words, not yours. I will never tell you his name. I'll just tell you his mind. That's good enough. So we don't want that mind to pop up again. The greatest obstacle we have in the way is that sensitivity in us that won't allow us to accept another one like us to tell us what to do. Somebody gonna tell us what to do. You can't live in this world without somebody telling you what to do. Let us try to understand Islamic democracy. If you learn what an Islamic democracy is, and we we had an aspect of Islamic democracy in the beginning of this talk, where I quoted Maulana Maldudi, where saying, in the long run, by and large, I'm not using the exact words, these are my words, but by and large, the guarantee of a Muslim society that it will remain law-abiding, that it will remain law-abiding, that it will respect Islamic principles, moral principles, does not rest upon external forces. The forces of government and et cetera are people executing authority. It rests upon what? The content of the individual's heart. That has to be in the individual's heart. In other words, Allah has not given the human being a nature that can be ruled over by another human being without individual consent. There must be individual consent, even with Allah's law. Allah himself, Almighty God, won't impose his laws, though he know they're the best for you. He won't know they were designed perfectly for you, but he won't impose those laws on you without your individual consent. So that's what it's telling us, and Scripture tells us that. I'm hurrying because I don't want to prolong the time. Scripture tells us that the trouble was that the people couldn't get the society to be at peace so it could prosper. So the Scripture came saying there's coming a time when God is going to write his word on their heart. He's going to do away with that dependence on force, enforcement of the law. God is going to educate the people, and he's going to educate them so they can see the value of these principles, and they're going to love them. The more we understand a thing, and the more we see that it's made for us, and that it works well for us, the more we are endeared to that thing. So we begin to love it more, don't we? And those Muslims who were educated on the Prophet Muhammad, they are told in the Quran to support this. Support it with more enthusiasm than you gave the age of ignorance, than you gave your leaders under polytheism. Support it with more enthusiasm than you had before this conversion. And that's what I tell you. I told you other week that you have to support this with more enthusiasm than you gave to Honorable Elijah Muhammad. With more enthusiasm than you gave to W.D. Farrar, or W.F. Muhammad. With more enthusiasm. You have to support this with more enthusiasm than you gave white bosses. If this is right, if this is the right, if this is better than what was before, then shouldn't you support this with more enthusiasm? That's no more than good sense. That's no more than good sense. Allah asked it of the prophets before, and it is an example to us that the leader must ask this of the people. And no one under me, as long as I live with my knowledge, is going to impose upon you without your consent. If you don't like this, you can get out of it. If you don't want to donate, you don't have to. If you don't want to give us a greeting, you don't have to. But there's a minimum that you have to do if you expect to continue to come around here and call yourself one of us. Oh, yes. We have to enforce that. That's why in Islam, we have sanctions that we must enforce. There are sanctions that we must enforce. But we are not depending solely upon those sanctions. Where is our faith more than it is in those sanctions? It is in the state of your heart. That's where our trust is. That's where our faith is. We know that long as the condition of the believer's heart is good, he will love these sanctions. He will support these sanctions. And no matter how much effort we put forth to enforce the sanctions, to enforce the principles or laws of Islam, if the content of the human heart has gone bad, if the individual has lost the Muslim content of his heart, we are finished. We are finished. That's why the learned Maulana Maldudi says, ultimately, enforcement does not rest in the sanction or in the law. Isn't this in agreement with the New Testament? In the law, but in the content of the human heart. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So let us understand this. And I hope that this has helped us in some way today. So I conclude this talk on the need to cultivate the human potential, to free it so it can go to its destiny that Allah chose for him. And anyone who's living, cheating himself on a level beneath his human capacity, he should think seriously about it and begin to do something in his or her life to bring that capacity up so that it reflects and complements what Allah has made you. And Allah has made you, as he says in the Quran, a most dignified creature. He has made you honorable. He has created your forms and made them beautiful and most excellent. So we thank Allah and we ask him to keep our faith firm and protect our hearts from deviating, keep our intent pure, keep us in the faith, and not let us go back to the ways of confusion and mistakes and immorality.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.